The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There was a slight pang of guilt there when Mark relayed that story about someone going into the professor's study and saying, "Have you read all those books?" Well, I think I'd have to answer, "I've read most of them, or at least some of them, some of most of them," I think is what I would have to say. But he revised then that book about spiritual depression, which is, of course, not the same thing as clinical depression, although I guess there is perhaps a bit of overlap here and there. It's what other spiritual writers like St. John of the Cross call the dark night of the soul. And it is, yes, it is something that is not uncommon in the Christian life at some time or another. Some people might think it's a very fitting topic for today when we are on the verge of Lent. A common picture of Lent is a time when we try to make ourselves uncomfortable and miserable in one way or another. In Lent, we are to focus on our unworthiness, some people tell us, on our faults and failings, so that we end up despising ourselves. But on the other hand, Jesus quotes with approval the Old Testament command to love our neighbours as ourselves. If we cannot love ourselves, how can we really love our neighbours? Our reading from the Gospels this morning is the story of the Transfiguration. And after the Transfiguration, events move quickly towards Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. But while all that was happening, Peter, James, and John must have had this event on the mountaintop at the back of their minds somewhere. Dazzling light, the appearance of Moses and Elijah, the voice from the cloud. As we go into Lent, we too can keep this in the back of our mind. This is the way our struggle with temptation, our boredom with the drabness and routine are heading to glory. But Lent tells us there are no easy fixes, no shortcuts, that noisy chatter, partying, cynicism may indeed dull the pain for a while, but eventually all these vanish into thin air. The message of Lent is that we have to hang on in there. Even when God seems far away, you have to keep on saying your prayers. When you feel you are not worthy to approach the altar of God, you need to come and hold out your hand to receive him. When the church's worship seems boring and uninspiring, then you need to keep coming. Otherwise, if you just want noise and excitement, worship has become another of those quick but short-lived fixes. I sometimes wonder if the Transfiguration was meant for Jesus as well as for the disciples, as he faced all that awaited him in Jerusalem. Did he have the memory of this event at the back of his mind too, to hold him steady? In his first sermon on spiritual depression, Dr. Lloyd-Jones quotes Psalm 42, verse 11, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." As we go through these low points, these times of struggle in our faith, what do we have at the back of our mind that will carry us through and give us hope that we too shall again praise him. Amen.